What's up, beautiful people? Thanks for tuning in. I'm Sharita, and this is Spaz. What's going on? What's happening? How is life treating you, beautiful people, my loved ones? How y'all getting on with this foggy ass clouds and the misty ass cold of the air? Life's been going good, huh? We still here. Well, I guess from the, you know, the start of my song, y'all know what today is about to be. Let's go. So you guys have obviously clearly guessed it. I want to do an ode to black natural hair. I just want to, and everybody's not going to relate to this. Clearly, if you're not, you know, if you don't have our texture of hair, you're not going to relate to it. However, shit, the world's a melting pot. You know what I mean? So somebody, 8 times out of 10 nowadays, somebody in your family is probably a mixed breed and they have a different grade of hair. And actually, shit, I guess we're going to kick it off in that way. And sometimes the mixed breed babies, that different grade of hair, the curlier hair, the tighter coils, the looser curls, the Shirley Temple curls. We're just diverse. We have so many curls, which is what we're going to get into and talk about as well. I just want to pay a little bit of respect and homage to our hair and give a little bit of an insight on the importance and the power and the beauty of it in my personal eyes, you know, and the frustration that comes behind it as well of maintaining it. And so, you know, hey, this is my ode to natural hair. And I'm really recording this because it's important for me to have this on my platform. It's important for me to send and spread a little light to my fellow naturalistas, my little baby black girls, my young teenager black girls, my non-black women with babies who are of mixed breed, who have a hard time with their baby's hair. And because it is not on your head and it's not a part of your particular culture, you don't fully understand. And let me tell you something. I want to just go ahead and pause and put this disclaimer in. There is no way, and I do mean this, there is no way that any other race can relate to a black woman with our hair and the journey, the struggle, the beauty, the understanding, nothing at all. There is no comparison. And it's really offensive when you think that you can. And I don't give a damn if you're dealing with or anything like that. Because what you need to understand now is that everybody's journey is different. So if you do have a girlfriend, a friend, a daughter, a son, whoever, with a mixed grade of hair, that mixed grade of hair is going to be very, very different than somebody else's mixed grade of hair. So no, you don't get it. And no, you cannot always offer your 2 cents or correct or make us feel bad about it. I just want to put that out there. Little disclaimer. So why, Sharita, why you want to talk about natural hair? What is this? What is this podcast about? I mean, why? Actually, I'm turning it off. Please listen. Because, you know, recently, I have faux locks in my hair, right? And I went on ahead and crocheted my hair. And crocheting my hair is a process of, there's different ways that you can crochet, When we were growing up, when I was growing up, should I say, and you know, in the 90s, I'm an 88 baby. I was a 90s kid. I personally knew this as like interlocking. We would get our hair braided back. And I remember when interlocking became a fad because it was quicker. We would braid our hair back in cornrows, and then we would take a latch hook and latch these interlocks in, right? And they used to be, actually, I don't remember them ever being twisties back in the kid when I was a kid. I remember them being straight braids, crinkly braids, curl braids, but they were all like little mini, like micro braids. I would never put that in my hair now. At least I don't think I would, but I don't know. Things are so creative with our hair. I never know where my hair is going to lead me in the future, what I'm going to latch in my hair. But, you know, it's been a real process in Black women across the world. And it still is a process for Black women and Black boys. But mainly, I'm really going to be addressing this really to women because I'm a Black woman. And y'all already know I can only speak on my personal experience. And so it's a real struggle for Black women to find real beauty within ourselves, within our hair. Hell, it's a real thing that people, I mean, there's a law. I need to look that up. There is a law that just passed, and correct me if I don't have my facts as far as like my years and stuff go, but I want to say it just passed within the last maybe 5 to 10 years. I'm gonna give it that range because I'm not too sure how long ago it was, but they just passed a law. In the workplace of non-discrimination towards Black women and us wearing our hair. Do y'all understand what that means? They just passed a law for corporate America to pretty much accept and embrace and allow Black women to come to work with their natural hair as is, whether that be our hair loosely. I'm a loose natural. My hair is in its natural state. I refrain from heat, and I for sure have not gotten a perm, and I can't tell you when. We'll talk about that too. But I'm a loose natural. We have our locked naturals, our shortcut naturals, our big hair naturals, our coarser naturals, our looser curly hair naturals. I mean, our hair does it all, which is really a real beauty in our hair, right? But that goes to say that our hair is barely just now being accepted, and that's not even fully across all spaces. You know what I mean? So imagine what that means to us. You guys are just now, some people, some places, some corporate offices are just now accepting a Black woman to wear her natural hair. You just now accepting a Black woman to wear what naturally God provided us that grows out of our scalp. We have no way of changing how our hair grows out of our scalp. Like, nobody has no power to do that. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And you're just now embracing it. I'm just now, quote unquote, able and allowed to wear my hair the way it is to work and go get money and provide for myself. How does that sound to you guys? Like, how does that sound? Like, really, really, really think about that. How does that sound? And can you ever imagine that? Can you imagine that? And those who did not know that, I don't expect you to know that because clearly it didn't affect you. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't pertain to you. So you don't understand, which is what we're going to get into when it comes to the struggles of natural hair, right? So when I was a little girl, I really want to refrain from good hair, bad hair, this hair, coarse hair. What's technical is technical, and what it is what it is. And so we'll definitely call things what they are, but I want to get away from certain stereotypes that I know affects our babies, right? And that's my biggest thing. I really, really, really want to take a part of changing narratives for our future little Black babies and brown babies that are coming up behind us in this world, because it's very, very important. I think it's important. I'm happy that I was poured into as a little girl the way that I was poured into, specifically by the Black men, my uncles in my life. You know, my cousin Robert had a major part in, you know, making sure me and my sister were very, very confident in who we are, making sure that we sat back and watched speeches from, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and, you know, and Minister Louis Farrakhan, and certain documents that we had to watch, certain motivation speeches that we had to watch back in the days on Soul Beat. Shout out to Soul Beat back in the days. That's a local channel that used to be out there in the town. And it was just, I'm glad that I was exposed to those kind of things. And because we don't see a lot of that nowadays, it's important for me as a Black woman to make sure that I'm exuding that out to my young ladies, my grown, my peers, you feel me? My mom, and you know, little girls, our babies. It's really, 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 really important to me. I swear to God, I couldn't be more passionate about it. Like I'm very, very passionate about it. Cause what you guys fail to realize when it comes to our natural hair, there is a lot of self shame and self hatred. A lot of frustration that lies behind it, and we're going to dig into that. So, like I said, growing up, I don't know, I've always had a pretty decent amount of, you know, a decent amount of head on my hair. I always had long hair when I was a little girl. My mama, you know, being that her hair versus me and my sister hair were different, she didn't know how to always fully take care of my hair, but she was so obsessed with me and my sister's hair. And that's because my mom, she's a 60s baby. 60s babies, 70s teen, I would say. Yeah, because my mom was born in 62. So she's a 70s teen. But she's a 60s baby. And, you know, so imagine, you know, how old my grandma was and her, and, you know, generations that go behind this. And my mom happens to be a darker skinned woman. And in her mind, she just was obsessed with hair. She never thought her hair would grow to a certain length. She always wanted it to be longer. She always wanted it to be straighter. She always wanted to play in it. She wanted to be the girl swinging her hair like the white girls. Plain and simple, like the white girls. And she'll literally tell you, I tried to follow the white girls. Now, you guys know my mom is deaf, which means that she's hearing impaired. I normally think that when I say deaf, people think I'm meaning like dead, deaf, and it's not. It's deaf. She cannot hear and speak. She's hearing impaired. And it definitely was a different experience for my mom to do nothing but actually see the discrimination, the division, the hate, not really hearing what's being said, just going by visual. You know what I mean? So that's a way more intenser way to look at, I'm pretty sure, a lot of things that she had to endure and look at in her life. However, my grandma was a little bit lighter skin, longer hair, her mother, longer hair and so forth of that nature. And she always wanted to look like my grandma. Okay, I mean, of course, what kid, little girl, doesn't want to resemble their mom? You know what I mean? When I was a little girl, I've always looked at my mom as beautiful and I wanted to look just like her. And, you know, certain, you know, colorisms and stuff like that will always played an issue with that, which affected me. As a little girl, hair and things of that nature. I remember my hair being combed and done, and me and my sister going out about our way and playing or whatever, and my mom having us, oh, what's this little one mixed with? That was always offensive to me. And I do mean that. It was always offensive to me. Number one, I didn't understand that. My mom, you know, I was with my mom and my sister, and that's in my family, Black. My mom a Black. So I just didn't, that made no sense to me. I truly did not understand that. Meanwhile, there's another little girl somewhere else that embraced that. That truly, truly did embrace that, that enjoyed that question, that got a kick out of that question. That question sparked an interest to her, and she was proud of that question. She was proud to be looked at as a mixed girl because of her hair or because of the color of her skin or whatever the case may be. But when it comes down to a Black woman's hair, imagine us in the 90s, we didn't have princesses that looked like us in the Disney world. At that time, we had Jasmine. And I say that because when I was a little girl, Jasmine, even though I knew she was Indian, my mom, when we had to go buy dolls, I was only going to get, and I was a lighter girl. So my mom was, if it was not a Black girl on that shelf, I got Jasmine or I got the darker skinned Mexican doll that they had. Because at that time, it was very, very rare to, you know, it was limited. You had your bunch of white babies, Black babies, Mexican babies, and a couple Chinese babies. That's how it was. Nowadays, these little girls are winning because there's so much culture on these shelves. And I do think it's really important to embrace, you know, to expose all cultures to our kids and to our babies. And so therefore, we can you know, start winging out division, racism, and things of that nature. However, what's popping on my show was Kenya. We had a doll named Kenya back in the days in the 90s, and Kenya came with beads. I would put my knockers in her hair. I would put my barrettes in her hair. She had more of a texture, grade of hair. Still fake compared to how these little girls' dolls' hair is now. Like, it's damn near real. It's so beautiful to see that this is what our babies are being exposed to. It actually really, really, really makes me just, I can't wait to have a daughter one day. And I never wanted a daughter. Get that. Never, ever wanted a daughter. Now I really do. If I'm ever blessed with a child, I want a girl. I would love a boy and a girl, but I really want a girl for certain reasons. And one of them is to teach her her worth and her beauty, because my woman struggled with that so much. Can you imagine being a part of a culture, not by choice? Nobody asked to be who we are. I didn't ask to be a black person, you know, but I would never want to be anything else. And I mean that. I would never want to come back to this earth anything else but a black woman. And that's on God. And I don't care. You can leave my history the way it is. I still want to come back as a black woman. It's that powerful to me. It's that beautiful. And I love myself enough to do it again. But society doesn't embrace us in our natural hair. Our men shame us with our natural hair. Women tease us for our natural hair. Women, black women, will tease you and go against you for your natural hair. So as a little girl, I never, ever, ever could sit through a perm. I hated perms. I think my mom has tried to perm my hair in my lifetime. I can count on one hand. Maybe like a solid 3, 4, 5 times, something of that nature. I don't think it's more than that, because I never could sit through with it. I did used to get my hair pressed out with a pressing comb or straightening or things of that nature, but I was always a braid girl. I liked my hair braided, and I still like my hair braided to this day. That's my my go-to. If I'm going to do a protective style as a loose natural, I'm going to go ahead and get box braids. It's something about braids to me that are just very regal, royal, beautiful, powerful, you know, and I'm using those words intentionally, because that's how I feel when my hair is in those type of styles, right? So I never could sit through a perm. The minute that it would irritate my scalp, because a perm for us goes against it and it straightens our hair. It's like a chemical burning our hair to straighten it, versus a white person who a perm curls their hair. So weird. Complete opposite, right? I wasn't fucking with it. It's the minute that I felt the tinkle, and I do mean a minute that I felt the tinkle, hey, rinse this out. It just wasn't for me. You know what I mean? Now that I'm grown, I'm like, yeah, that just never was for me. Meanwhile, my sister Mary's hair used to be popping. Mary sitting in that chair, burning her scalp down, baby. And trust me, Mary has burned her scalp a few times. You know what's funny? Is my sister is very, very tender-headed. I haven't heard her use this dumb excuse in a long time, but my sister is 34. My sister, probably the last time I've heard her say, I got a soft spot in my hair. She was an adult. She was already a mother. She was a mother of two. The last time that I heard her say that, and she be dead serious. The bitch is crazy, and she's just tenderheaded. Mary has always been tenderheaded. However, Mary sat her ass in that chair and permed and burned her scalp because she wanted her hair to be straight and pretty. And at this time, when she really started like pushing it to the limit, is when she got to like middle school, older age, when your appearance start to, you know, matter to you, things of that nature. She wanted to be cute, obviously. The question is, why do we recognize our hair being, as little black girls, why do we idolize our hair to be cute, for it to be straight and bouncy and wavy? But that's just what it was. And I remember walking out of the hair shops, and, you know, it's be cold out there. It's a cold. We had our hair shop that we went to, Toyota Hair Designs, and I was in downtown Oakland. It's not even there anymore. It's just not there. It's off of Telegraph. Telegraph is a whole other area now. But anywho, we will walk outside, and like this weather right now, it's all foggy and misty in the air. I'm walking outside, girl, baby. My hair is, boom, back in a puff. Back in a soft puff, because I had a little bit of perm in there. My hair was slightly pressed out. Mary swinging her shit in the air because her perm then sat through. She's not reverting back. And now that I look at it as a natural, thank God. Thank God my hair reverted back the way that it was doing, honestly. But I didn't understand anything about that as a little girl. I just used to look at my sister like, dang, like her hair is all pretty and flowy and natural. I mean, and just healthy, and look at me. I'm just poofed up, and now I got to go to school tomorrow because obviously we're getting our hair done on the weekends. This for sure ain't lasting me to Monday. You know what I'm saying? So now Mary got to comb my hair. My sister did my hair a lot when I was a little girl. She would put my little knockers and my ponytails in. It's so funny to see how a lot of things she did as little girls, and we're only a year apart. But that's just what it was. She had my back. I had hers. And so it never worked for me, right? Fast forward, I start wearing braids back in like middle school, high school. It was easier to do. It's easier to get up and go. It's easier to not deal with my hair and to not have the struggle of, you know, maintaining it and keeping it. I mean, so many things that I know now that I didn't know as a little girl. Our family, my mom didn't know. My grandma didn't know. My aunties didn't know. We didn't know. A lot of Black women still to this day have no idea how to maintain our natural hair. They don't even know how to handle their natural hair. That's it. Listen to that, y'all. My culture, my people, my women don't fully always understand our own hair. That's a sad thing. And that's because we have been taught and monetized to go against the grain and to have our hair look like something else that it's not. And so we don't even know how to deal with our own shit, you know, which is crazy. Like, it's crazy. It's insane. But this is real. This is very, very real. And so, you know, nobody understood how to do our hair and whatnot. So whatever. I'm, you know, now at this point, I'm getting braids all the time and fell more in love with it because it was easier for me to get up and go. Summertime, I was able to get in the pool and swim. My hair wasn't all loose with the chlorine because we can't have all of that in our hair. We just can't. Even to this day, as a grown woman, it's really annoying to me when people are looking at us like, why you don't want to get your hair wet? Da-da-da-da. Don't even question us on that. This is just what it is. And I mean, all these years, y'all still asking this stupid-ass question? Y'all know what's up. We just can't, like, my hair is not of a grade of your hair. It cannot take all that. That water, that chlorine water, it can dry and break my hair out, especially if I'm not taking care of it the way that I'm taking care of it. We really are supposed to be slathering our hair in a whole bunch of conditioner before we get in this water, honestly. Now, how does that look like? A whole bunch of chemical ringing around this little Black girl because her mom is protecting her hair. Or use a water cap, but water caps don't work in our hair because our hair is too thick. It's like you got to braid it down to do that. And what little girl want to be wearing cornrows all day just to go swimming? Just doesn't work like that. It makes any sense, okay? And so summertime, I'm braiding my hair up. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. High school comes. I wear nothing but micros. You know, that was what I wore. I wore blonde micros in high school. And a couple of times that I straightened my hair. I didn't start straightening my hair and, like, wearing my hair out until, like, fresh out of high school. I got tired of, you know, not taking my micros down by myself because that's a process. My mom and my sister, Mary was gone. She didn't help me no way. But my mom and my sister did not fuck with me when it came down to taking down my braids. I used to go to my friend's house and they would take them out here and there. And that's why I don't be taking them out of my sister's hair to this day, because she ain't never had my back taking out my braids when we was back in high school. Because I used to wear a lot. I'm talking about hundreds of micros. I wore like the small micros when I was in high school. And I've always had long hair. So it definitely was a lot to take my braids out. And if you know me well, you do not cut my hair. I've never been into that. You would never cut my hair. I would cut it. I'm only cutting the tips. And we're taking a comb and we're going to take it out from bottom up. Because you don't know. That's another thing. You have people cutting our hair, taking out braids, taking out protective styles, and just chopping it off. Because you have no patience. You have no patience to deal with this hair. So you're just chopping it. I don't get down like that. This is still my hair. And I still care about my hair. Hair doesn't always matter to everybody. And that's a blessing. Because that means you open to all kind of changes and doing whatever. You're not fearful of what you look like. And I think that's a beautiful thing. That's not me. That's not me. I do care about my hair. I do care about what it looks like and the health of it. I treat my hair as a garden. And that's literally how, if I ever had a daughter, how I would teach her, how I would train her with her hair. I water it. I fertilize it. I take my time with it. It responds in different weather, a certain type of a way. It goes through different seasons with me. It holds a lot of heaviness to me when I'm heavy. It's a different feeling when I cleanse it. our hair is so much more spiritual than when people really, really, really grasp. Like, for real. And I'm talking about all of our hair. Loose, braided, cut, dyed, locked. Our hair is something about it. It's really something about it. But then again, you guys, they said that Jesus had hair like wool. I don't know, though. That's just what they said. That's just what that good book said. So, I mean, I don't know. You do with that information as you please. I'm just stating what's in the good book that, you know, America had us reading. So, I mean, hey, this is, you know, look it up in the good book. He had hair like wool. I mean, what does wool feel like? What kind of texture is wool? What would you compare to wool? But I don't know. You know, that's a different argument, a different something. And I don't have time for nobody's little wannabe rebuttals when it comes to that. And so, you know, it was easier for me to go ahead and straighten my hair. Back then, I was straightening. I'm talking about straightening like damn near, God, like once a week. Maybe I would push it for two or damn. But I'm definitely going over it every day if I see any kind of hoop. And, you know, and it wasn't fully damaged. I definitely had heat damage once I fully went natural. I got to a phase in my early 20s where I was like, you know what? I'm tired of straightening my hair. I'm over it. I'm over confining to what it's supposed to be like manicured. You know what I mean? This is not my hair. I don't really fuck with it. And I've always liked big hair. Because when I wash my hair and it would kind of like fall out, I'd be like, oh, I like this look. I like this look. But something about it, I just wasn't fully confident in rocking that, going outside and, you know, embracing that and doing this and, you know, just kind of, I didn't know. And honestly, it's because I didn't know. Our hair is so unpredictable. I can walk outside with it like, okay, I think this is real cute. Come back by the end of the day and my shit looking through. I'm talking about just through and through. Through and true. And it's just like, okay, what happened? I thought it was cute. But now here we go. What am I going to do with this? And there's a frustration that lies with that. And if you're not patient, I can understand that it ain't for you. I really do wish that we had more natural stylists that knew how to maintain our hair, even when you are going with the weaves, the braids, your protective styles. That's called a protective style. And I wish that we understood how to maintain the health of our hair while we're protective styling, because these past couple of years, I for sure can testify that I have been, I don't know, my regimen just changed. Maybe I wasn't putting that much protein in my body. I wasn't moisturizing correctly. I have been completely stressed on another level these past couple of years. Quarantine hit, breakups and setbacks and financial hardships happening to where I've been stressed. And it wasn't until recently when I did my hair recently to where one of my sisters is like, look, I know that you know, you happy and you doing this and you say that things ain't bothering, but let me break this to you. You've been going through this, and that, and it's been back to back to back to back. It's showing in your hair. And I had to really sit and think about it like, oh, you right. You're so right. Like, it is showing, it's dull. This is what I mean by your garden. It is dull, very dry, easy to break. Our hair breaks. I'm talking about snaps, which is why for me, I'm like anybody touching my hair, especially when it's in its full, loose, out, natural stage. Do not touch my hair. It is dry at this point because it is out. My hair releases moisture the minute that I take it out of a twist. Immediately. I only have a solid. Back then, I could push it a week. Now, I got a solid 2 days before I need to go ahead and do something to put a little moisture back in my hair immediately. Like, it breaks. And some people got to do it every day. Every day. You know, wet their hair, moisturize, because, you know, the moisture loses. The hair depends on the porosity of our hair. You guys can do your own homework and look that up. Porosity, pretty much on a slight tip is, you know, your cuticles either lifting or shifting to allow the moisture to come into our hands, our hair strands. That actually, you definitely want to look that up, you guys, because that's going to teach you how to maintain the moisture of your hair if you guys don't already know this now. I mean, it's a whole bunch of YouTube videos and naturals nowadays where certain things that we should all be doing research on just to kind of better ourselves and our own health, because our hair is a part of our health, you know, to educate ourselves. But all of that, you know what I mean? But I remember when I made the decision to say, you know what, I'm going to start my healthy hair journey is what I really, really like to remember to call it, because I don't know, perms didn't take to my hair. So I can't say that I went, I transitioned and all that. But I did transition from heat damage. I never did a big chop. I just transitioned from heat damage and went from there and started my healthy hair journey. And my family went against me, like, on a real level. My mama did not like it. Neither one of my grandmas liked it. They're very light with it. My family would make little comments, little ways, have certain faces. Well, you know, I ain't patient enough. Say little stupid shit that I didn't give a damn about. Just stupid, you know. And I was excited. I was so excited to learn all of these things that I never knew. I never knew about the porosity right here. I never knew, you know, how my hair reverting back and pulling it down and bouncing up, that meant that my hair was healthy and that it had its elasticity in it, and the certain products, how to layer my products on, how to seal in my moisture. I was just so excited with all this information that was now provided to us in order to maintain and keep our hair healthy. You know what I mean? You know, which is, like I said, that was something that we weren't, as little Black girls, we weren't taught that, because a lot of times our moms didn't know. They didn't know what to do with our hair. I remember getting my hair washed before with Dawn soap. I would never put that in my hair now. That is so drying. I remember my auntie at one point in time, after my mom, I believe it changed our hair texture the first time she tried to put a perm in our hair just for me. She did not do it right, and our hair fell out. And after that, it was a struggle. After that, it was a struggle when we were kids. Like, it was just a struggle because it changed our hair. That perm changed our hair because it's not made for us. It's plain and simple. That is not how God intended our hair to come out of its roots. That is not how our hair grows. That is a chemical that you are putting on this little girl's hair. That is a chemical that you are allowing into your body. And I'm pretty sure whoever made it for sure didn't make it with us in mind and probably put some shit in there that we had no business putting onto ourselves. Plain and simple. Let's look at the world now. It wouldn't surprise me not one bit. But we didn't know that. We just knew that if I straighten her hair, it's going to make it so much more easier for me to maintain. I got to get up and go to work in the morning. I got to get my baby ready. She got to go ahead and go to school. But, you know, y'all also could be putting your baby's hair in knuckles and breads and beads and stuff and then have it done for the whole week. And that's how it should be. Actually having it done for the whole month or the whole couple of weeks or whatever the case may be is really how it should be going. But that was the story of my life. And so with all this clapback when I went natural, and I didn't care. And I also, in that phase, in my early 20s, I went through a phase of really just 100% embracing me. Like, and I was fresh out of at that time, I was out of a breakup. My ex-boyfriend had a baby on me, so that was a major heartbreak that I don't wish on no woman. And that's a whole other, situation there. I don't wish that on no woman. And so it put me through a whole nother phase. And so I was like, you know what? And I was with that boy for a very, very long time. And so I said, you know, next time I get with somebody and I date somebody, they're going to have to date me and really, really fuck with me. All of me. All of me. I'm not straightening my hair no more. I'm not doing this and that. I'm not going on my way to make somebody feel. I'm just not doing it. I was just over it. And I had to be like 22, 23 when that phase started. And so that's where I was with it. Now, actually, that's damn near 10 years ago because I just turned 33. Shout out to my Sagittarius's out there. My birthday just passed, y'all. Your girl is 33. Jesus year, baby, baby. But, you know, that was one reason why I went with mine, because I wanted to, like, really just embrace myself. And it's been on and popping ever since. It's been on and popping ever since. I embrace the hell out of myself now. Don't get me wrong. I've always had my confidence and I loved myself, but it hit different when I embraced me like fully as me, my authentic, genuine self. I started to love my shrinkage, especially because, like I said, length wasn't always an issue for me growing up. Length is a big deal for people. It's a really, really big deal for Black women to be able to showcase their length. They don't like their shrinkage. I personally love my shrinkage. It shows me that my hair is natural. I just told you guys, it is everything when you can see your hair be pulled all the way down and fling back up versus you pulling it down and stay down, because it's dead. Your hair is dead. It's not springy. Ain't no spring chicken no more. Okay? Use that term for your hair too. And so I embrace those kind of things. I embrace my updos. I embrace putting my hairs up. I embrace my natural protective styles. I embrace my holiday hair. My sister used to make fun of me, my little holiday hairstyles, but those are my best ones. I love a good updo on my hair. I like a timeless 20s style on my hair. That's just what it is. I like it. My hair is tucked and it's healthy. I'd have been bad in the 20s, y'all. I'd have been out there rolled and tucked. Rolled, dipped, and tucked, baby. And it would have been popping. Bent over somewhere in somebody's jazz's bar. That's what my life would have been back in those days. But to the beauty in the struggle of us figuring out our hair, the beauty of when I fully joined the natural hair community, I really did feel like that natural hair community, especially back then, it was like a wave. It's a bigger wave now, but then it was like everybody was like, embrace. That's when I was looking at the OGs on YouTube. I had Naturals. We had Taryn. She's a whole other name now. Mahogany. Kimmy Tube. The Sisters. There's another black girl I used to watch. Like, I'm talking about, and I still fuck with them. I still fuck with all of my OG Naturals. Those are actually the only ones that I really, really watch. It's very rare for me to, like, get on YouTube and find, like, a new girl. You know, I just rather stick with what I know. Because back then, my hair journey was popping. Like, my shit was full, thick, moisturized, beautiful, and shit just went to hell. And that's another thing. There's so many setbacks in a natural hair journey. There's so... Ooh, weed. That was so rude. Excuse me, you guys, but I'm human, too. There's so many setbacks in a natural hair journey. You know what I mean? There's so many lessons learned. There's so many do's and don'ts. And I can understand why somebody would tap out of it, because it is a lot. It's a lot to maintain our hair, which used to be so funny when you would see people like, yo, you know, that old nappy old hair and do something with that. And you're not even, that shit just, you know, and all this negative connotation towards our hair. And I used to be looking at them like, well, really, our hair is like high maintenance. Our real hair is expensive as I don't know what, and it is high maintenance. Our products, good products for our hair, and we need good products in our hair. That ain't cheap. You know, having to moisturize your hair a certain amount of time, that's real. Deep conditioning, making sure you're balancing your deep conditionings with your protein treatments. This is real. This is not me just going and putting on some braids and quick weave and doing this and that. No. Embracing our hair takes you on a whole another roller coaster. And that's why I personally push it so much. I'm getting ready to be taking and starting a whole nother journey sooner than later. And I've been wanting to start my journey years ago. I wanted to lock my hair when I was like 25. And my goal was 25. That changed. I was like, you know, I'm not ready. Then it went to 30. It's like every 5 years that I've been like, okay, I'm ready. Now I'm like, you know what? And then I was going to do 35. Now my aunt, nah, sooner than later. I'm over it. Just go ahead and do what it needs to do. Do what my hair needs to do. I feel like our hair performs its best when it's locked. But that's going to be a different journey and struggle for me. And I don't know too much about it. So I'm not going to tap too much into it because I'm still barely learning myself. But just the understanding of the struggles that we really do face as black women over something as simple as our hair. The way that our men will make fun of us and talk about us as little girls. Nappy headed, oh, your hair, look at that. Look at that kitchen. You just nappy, you got BDBs. I mean, just the things that we heard growing up. Like, it's crazy. It's not a surprise when you see black women not embracing themselves and embracing their hairs and finding the beauty in ourselves and within our hair. Not if our own man don't support and love us and make us beautiful. Not if our own community of women, you know, making fun of us and talking shit and clowning like that. Us, like you, me, underneath that weave, this is what your shit look like. That's why it was so funny when Beyonce, you know, cuts it, because everybody's so used to Beyonce. Beyonce is known to have blonde weaves. Well, now, you know, we all know Beyonce's hair is actually beautifully long and very natural. Very natural. There's a lot of times that she's doing photo shoots and pictures with her hair, and nobody says it. But that, when you see Beyonce's hair big and it looks natural, a lot of times that is her hair and it is natural. Like, that is her hair. You know what I mean? And for whatever reason, and honestly, I understand why she doesn't shed too much light on her hair, because when she cut her hair that one time, she got ridiculed. You know what I'm saying? But I know it's her hair, because in years after, when Mama Tina posted her hair and said in the caption, Like, she gonna kill me if I post this picture. However, I'm so proud of my baby's hair grew back. That was, she was being a mom. She was being a regular mom, which makes sense. And, you know, we get it. However, that shows you right there that that was Beyonce's hair. You know what I mean? And she doesn't like to shine light on her hair. There's a reason for that. And I really respect her for doing it that way because I get it. As a black woman, I understand why she don't talk too much about her hair and she don't do nothing. She just, her hair is her hair. Because you get ridiculed. Look how people are getting at Cardi. And Cardi is an Afro-Latino. Let's get that together. Let's understand and respect that we do have Afro. We've always had Afro-Latina brothers and sisters. That's just what we do. That's what we have. I'm not taking that from you. I have never looked at an Afro black person and was like, you're not black. I ain't never done that. Sometimes I feel like they get a kick out of being told that. I'm not the one that's going to tell you that. I'm the one that's going to tell you, no, you are a nigga. I look at you and I see a nigga. I don't see nothing else but a nigga. Like, I'll tell you that in a second. My best friend, Modita, can attain to that. She's a Cuban girl, and I remember the first time I met her, and I asked her, what you black and what? And she said, I'm not black. I looked at her and said, well, then who do you think you are? Mind you, y'all, I'm 12. I'm 12 hollering at her like this, and she's looking at me like, what? I met her daddy. Her daddy was an Afro-Latte. He's a Cuban. Dark-skinned, black. He's a black Cuban. And I looked at her like, you need to read a book. Can you imagine that? 12 years old with a game like that? Shout out to my family, man, for real. On a real level. And I meant that. I was offended when she said that. I was so offended. I remember going home. We were in a foster care at that time. I remember going to, you know, visit my family and bring that up to them. Like, yeah, I have this girl in church and she doesn't even love herself. And da-da-da. I remember, like, I mean, talking about it, telling my sister, we go into the car, like, yeah, sis, like, well, because we weren't raised like that. I can't relate to that. I can't. I absolutely cannot. I don't want to. I don't want to. My heart goes out for that. When I'm talking to a lot of my friends nowadays, who'll say things like, yeah, you know, like, I felt this way, or I didn't embrace this and that growing up. I'm just like, damn, like, man, I wish you guys grew up with us. Man, like, I wish that you guys heard certain things that we heard. You know what I mean? I'm not sure if that would have made a difference. Actually, yes, I think it would have made a difference. It would have made a difference. Maybe you weren't around an area, especially here in Stockton where I live, compared to the Bay. The Bay was way diverse growing up. You know what I mean? You seen more of everything. You had more culture. It was just different. You know what I mean? Versus, like, to see black people in slower towns, country or cities. Not saying that this is country, y'all. I'm not coming for Stockton. I'm really not. I got love for Stockton. I got real love. But, you know, just seeing different things, I'm just like, wow, like, this is an issue. And this is an issue for us across the board. It's not a California thing. It's not an American thing. This is something that we struggle with across the globe. Across the globe, we do not see beauty within ourselves, within our hair, within our skin, within, we just don't see it. And it's bad enough that America, y'all don't help us out seeing it. Black women got it hard, y'all. And I'm not just saying that as a black woman. I know it as a black woman, so I can really attest to it and speak on it. But it's hard. It's hard. We get the end of the stick across the board. Across the board. Like, we're not, like, you got, I mean, white woman, Mexican woman, Asian woman that will say, like, oh, you know, like, as a matter of fact, I know some girls who went and had babies with black men just to have a curly hair, a little natural girl, because you want her to get out there in that community and stunt. Do you hear me? You are literally putting your baby in that position. You are willing that into her. And that's how it happens. And that's why the cycle keeps continuing, because that's what it is. You know what I mean? I had a partner, Bowley. And I remember letting this slide, but then, ooh, it made me sick. She had a mixed child, and I happened to be one of my friends years ago. These little girls are big now. She had a mixed child, and I was happen to be with one of my friend's kids. I was babysitting, and I'm at the park, and I'm getting ready to blow. I'm like, go over there and go play. You know, go over there. I'm over here doing me. And that's how Auntie Sharita get down. So just know, I'm Auntie Sharita through and true. For real. Go over there and play. And my partner happened to link up with me because, they, you know, little girls are the same age. Bowley, my partner's baby, happens to be mixed. Oh, my God. I've never seen no other little girl prettier than my baby, or was as pretty as her. Oh my God, I gotta take a picture. Oh my God, look at her hair. Her hair is just like hers. My other partner's daughter's hair is way more fuller. Her curl is more in the threes, between the threes and the fours. Both of them beautiful little girls, both of them beautiful grades of hair. But she said that. And I had to ask, like, why you say that? Well, you know, because, you know, she just has her. I knew right there, like, ooh, she got a color complex. But you saying this, and at that time, I think they were like four or five. You saying that to these little girls? And you serious? You took a picture. I watched this, and it hit me different because your girl was high. So I'm really looking at it like, what the? It was like slow motion. Like, I couldn't believe it. Now, the conversation would have been different had I would have had a non-mixed black girl there running around with her little knockers and stuff like that. Would you have said that? Would you have went out your way to take a picture of this little girl and say that you've never seen another girl as cute as your daughter that you got to show your husband when you get home? And you have to, would you have done that? No. No, the answer is no. But my question is why? Why not? Why not? Why you ain't pouring into this little non-mixed black girl like you pouring into this mixed one? Why? Why you doing that? Why you creating division between them already? Already. You don't see, I've seen it. I've seen little kids playing and, you know, doing their own thing. Even with our boys. Oh, he gonna be so fine when he get older. I mean, nowadays, I think little chocolate boys really, because we all know it ain't shit on a chocolate brother. You know, I love me a chocolate brother. So if I had a son, I wouldn't mind my baby being midnight chocolate, handsome, tall, stagnant. I wouldn't mind it at all. Hitting it. Like, just being that one, walking with a stride. I can see him. I envision my baby boy. I just do. I look at my nephews. Now, look how great y'all are. Y'all just, oh my God, he's so handsome. I just, you know, I love that. But there's division. Oh, you know, look at him. He's all swag. He gonna be a little pretty boy. Bitches gonna be on him. So that lets me know that, you know, men have their own little issues too. But I'm not a man, so I don't know what that conversation is looking like. I'm not sure, you know, what division they had growing up, you know, between them as little boys. Or I don't know. That's actually a really, really good thing. I would love to hear it. I would love to hear a man's perspective on that. Did they struggle in certain things like how a black woman does, but and still does? You know what I mean? It's not easy. It's a beautiful thing when I do run into a black man who embraces a natural woman. God, when I first went natural, all my compliments came from white men. White people and white men. And that's real. White men will stop me like, oh my God, I love your hair. Your hair is so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Honestly, to this day, if I'm out and about and I have my hair out and I, especially don't let me comb it. And I don't comb my hair. Y'all know I don't fuck with the combs. But don't let me just have it like where I literally wake up, take my pineapple out, shake my hair, and I'm out. When I was in LA a couple of weeks ago, my hair, and it gets bigger by the day. We all know that. Day three hair is the best hair for me. But I get out there, my hair is getting bigger now in day two. That's how I know moisture is leaving my hair quicker, because it spreads out more quicker. And when I'm walking down, they was just, you know, the farmer's market, and they were just, oh my God, I love your hair. But it was white people. Couple of mixed brothers, but majority of white people, white men. You know, like indigenous white men and stuff like that. They were very, you know, I could tell they were maybe like Indian or I don't know. They were just something, you know, I mean, for us, you know, black and white is like, oh, okay, you're a white guy. You know, whatever. But they showed the most love. They embraced it the most. They were the ones going out the way like, why are you so beautiful? They did that. And I mean, I took it in, like, compliment is a compliment. Like, okay, thank you. But I was always curious, like, damn, like, why they fuck with me more than mine's? Mine's is making fun of me. Mine's is saying little slick shit, like, and they embracing it. Now, I think you're seeing more and more black men embracing it. And I think black men are starting to look at it like, no, this is actually beautiful. Or black men are maturing. I think it's a mature thing for them to look at it like, nah, like, I'm fucking with that. Some black men prefer that on their woman. They prefer their woman to be natural, to have her hair. Whether it's some black men want their woman hair short. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just certain things are changing now. And it's a beautiful thing to see because we didn't always have that. You know, and those are things that we got made fun of. Those are things, believe it or not, those are things that non-black women are sitting around thinking that they got one over us because y'all made them feel that way. You made them feel that way. You made them feel like, well, I don't like all that old hair. I remember a story. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to end it right here because I know I'm kind of going everywhere. But I just want to touch on it and kind of give a little insight in my opinions on it. But let's quick story. I had a coworker a couple years ago, and I don't know if she was pregnant or her baby was a baby at the time, but she is a Mexican girl, I believe. She's Mexican and something else, and her baby daddy, or her husband, should I say, was a black man. And he's a black man, I believe, originally from the South, or his family's from the South, because he had country roots. But anywho, she said that one day they're in a mall, and she seen a little girl, a little mixed girl, and she told her husband, unknowingly, and I don't think she meant any harm, she told her husband, like, oh, my God, like, look at her hair. Her hair is so beautiful. She has good hair. I hope our baby has hair like that. Or I hope her hair grows to be like that. Like I said, I'm not sure if she was pregnant with her daughter or she already had her daughter and her daughter was a baby. So you're kind of just curious. I was looking at other mixed kids, like, what is my baby going to look like, you know? And he stopped her. She said her husband checked her. She said he looked at her and said, hey, don't say that. Don't you ever say that. And that made me so proud. And I told her. I told her that. I said, that makes me proud. Like, shout out to your husband because he should have checked you on everything. And I know that check was out of love. It wasn't him being mean or nothing. I was out of love. He got a black mama. He got a black mama, a black sister, a black cousins. That's his family. That's his woman that you're talking about. Whether you're going to embrace it or not, that is his woman that you're talking about. That's him. That's him. She came from his rib. He better speak up. He better speak up. I'm tired of you niggas who don't speak up. I'm tired of you guys allowing them to think it is okay to bully us, make fun of us, to bring us down, bring us low. That's your mama she's talking about. Remember that. That's a little sister that you love so much. Remember that. That's that big sister that has your back like your brother when your mama was doing whatever. Remember that. You know what I mean? And he checked her. He's like, don't ever say that. Like, that could be very rude. Da, da, da. He explained it to her. And she said it. She said she had no idea. She said, I had no idea that it was like that serious. I don't know what made her tell the story. We were talking about something. You know, I used to be on my teams at work gaming them. You know, I'm always going to be who I am and talk about who I am. Because I don't mind you talking about who you are and embracing your culture, who you are, how you getting down. That's how we learn. That's how we learn. That's how we communicate. I would never shame you for you being and embracing who you are. What you can't do is sit back and be racist. I'm not finna play that shit. That's about to be out. And I don't want you being racist towards no race. Damn sure not mine. That's not gonna happen. I don't fuck with that. I just don't. Granted, we all have racism in us, but don't be disrespectful and ignorant and loud with it. Like, you just not finna sit around here talking about ghetto-ass white girls and this, and that, when I know too many ghetto-ass white girls, Mexican girls, and Asians. What are we talking about? Ghetto is not a culture. Well, ghetto has its own culture, I guess. Ghetto is not an ethnicity, should I say. Ghetto is not an ethnicity. You know what I mean? So let's stop that shit. Let's stop it. You could just be ghetto because you're a product of your environment. And we all know that it ain't just black people in the hoods no more. Stop that. There's motherfuckers here who can't afford to live anywhere else. And that was done strategically. Okay, so that's different, you know, but that's a whole nother thing right there. But this is, come on now, let's be real here. But I wanted to tap in and shed some light on it and just, you know, go through it because I had a whole moment with my natural hair recently. You guys, I'm talking about a breakdown, crying, emotional because my hair done broken off, all this work that I put in. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it when I just did my most recent blowout. Like, it was, I could not believe it. It was a major setback and so dry and brittle. And I had to really check myself, like, damn, I'm so emotionally connected to my hair. But I am. I just am. My hair has been through so many journeys with me, has provided me so many different looks, so many different styles, so many different phases of Sherita. You know what I mean? And I love that. I love that we have that in us. I love that my hair could do anything. It's so versatile. Our hair, I'm going to leave you guys with this, ladies, black woman. Never forget that our hair, and you can quote me, our hair is the only, and I do mean only, the only hair that can literally do anything and everything. Do you hear me? Embrace that. I want to cry. I feel so passionate about that. Again, black woman, my black babies, our hair, this black hair that we have, this coarse grade of hair, these coils of curls in our hair, our tight curls, our nappy kitchens, our straight hair, our spiral curls, whatever you want to call it, our hair. It is the only hair on this earth that I know of. We don't know nothing about space, but on this earth. And I honestly believe the whole world. Who fucking with us? But that can do anything. And if there's anybody that want to run up a debate, like, what you mean by that? Your hair cannot be coarse. You cannot make it coarse. You can go ahead and do whatever perms you want to your hair. Your hair will never be like wool. It will never be our texture. Never, never. Our hair holds braids differently. Our hair holds oils differently. Our hair can go from straight to curly to nappy to afro to straight to wet to our hair. You cannot put an afro in your hair. Our hair is so much more powerful than what we truly, truly understand. And I truly believe that there is a reason for that. Let's look at Samson in the Bible. He had all them long locks and the power was in his hair. And if you don't know that story, go ahead and look that up. But I just want to leave you with that. You know, embrace our hair. People who have went against our hair, people who have made fun of our hair, do better. Do better. Especially if you got a daughter. Especially if you got a sister that's going natural. You got any young black girl that's influencing. You got a mama that's trying to embrace her hair now. Because remember, she came from a time where she couldn't embrace that. She couldn't embrace that. I'm talking about you embrace all women taking that journey. And I don't care what journey it is. Stand beside her. I mean that. But peace and light, you guys. It's been real. Let me go ahead and start my day. Smoke and toke.